Well, welcome everyone. Today we come back together again after a week for our regular Tuesday meeting, where I have a chance to present some part of the Buddha's teaching. And it's often hard to judge exactly what sort of teaching to give in this sort of a place, because most of you I don't know, and I'm not sure of what your interests or your level of understanding of Buddhism is. So sometimes I give talks that go way over everybody's head or way over their interest level, and sometimes I maybe give talks that are seem to be quite basic. So I hope you'll bear with me. We'll try to switch it up and give some more advanced teachings and some teachings that are directed towards beginners. Today's talk is, you could say it's directed more towards beginners, but I would rather say, I think it's more accurate to say that it's directed more towards everyday life. And as with anything in Buddhism, there really is no teaching that you could call advanced or basic. It's just either general or specific, and it's either a daily life teaching or it's a specific teaching that you would use in, say, a meditation sitting where you're sitting for an hour at a time, or doing walking meditation for an hour at a time, or so on, or you're in a retreat setting. But the teaching today is something that I think is useful in both cases, but probably leaning more towards something that we can all use a reminder of for our daily lives. And this is the teaching on goodness in Buddhism. Goodness is something, sort of an aspect or a facet of the Buddha's teaching, which gets specific emphasis and is referred to again and again or mentioned again and again by the Lord Buddha. It's a way of describing the Buddha's teaching as the teaching of goodness, punya. And most traditional Buddhist cultures have this word as sort of a household term for doing good deeds, for undertaking goodness, undertaking good deeds. They'll often translate it as merit. The merit is kind of a bland, dry, or a technical term. The word the word punya, from a Buddhist point of view, it comes from the root to clean. And so it's considered that goodness is anything that cleans your heart, anything that purifies the heart or purifies the mind, that makes you a more pure and kind and generous and happy individual. This is called punya. And the Pali derivation is santanang visoteti puneti. Santanang puneti visoteti punyang. That which cleanses and purifies one's being, you could say. This is called punya. And the Lord Buddha was very clear about how important punya or goodness is in our spiritual path. The Buddha said that punya is another word for sukha. Sukha seitang pikave ati vachanang yatitang punyani. Sukha seitang, this another word for happiness is this, that is to say, punya. Sukha means happiness. It's the Buddhist term, the opposite of dukkha. If you know the word dukkha, we hear Buddhism teaches all about dukkha, and we always get this bad rap from non-Buddhists that Buddhism is a depressing or a pessimistic religion, and that it says life is suffering. And I want to emphatically state, as I have emphatically stated before, the Buddha never once, as far as I know and as far as I've read and studied, never once said that life is suffering. And he certainly didn't teach a pessimistic view of life. He taught that in life there is suffering, and there are many aspects of life, and the fact that we come into life and are born again and again and again does mean that we have to suffer. But in this very life, we can be free from suffering. And in fact, enlightenment is considered in some way though you have to be careful in your understanding of it, it's considered eternal life. It's called the amatta, the non-dying. But anyway, more important for today's talk is the understanding that the Buddha didn't just teach suffering. He also was very clear, and it's very obvious that he wasn't trying to bring about suffering for people. He was trying to help people to be free from suffering and to attain sukha, or happiness. It's just that the Lord Buddha's path, which he recommended for the attainment of happiness, was not indulgence or attainment of external objects. It was goodness. That goodness is the attainment of happiness. And so, with this in mind, we come to ask the question: what is happy? What is goodness? And we come to get a sort of interest, and we come to set our minds on this idea of goodness. Well, then, if goodness means happiness, then how do we attain goodness? I had a really nice talk last night with someone who's not a Buddhist, but he was he's 80 years old, and he's seen a lot, and he's come to the realization — he used to be many, many different things — and he's come to the realization that the best thing is helping people, helping other people. And so he's always very alert and very aware, and this is always on his mind. He's never lazy in this fact. Whenever anyone comes to him, he's always thinking about their needs, asking them how they're doing, and is generally interested and genuinely concerned, and genuinely wants to help these people. And I was really struck by this. It's an example of someone who has great mindfulness, who doesn't forget. You know, it's easy for us to pretend to want to help people or to make effort to want to help other people, but to have it come naturally, so that you never forget and you never slip back into another way of being where you're stingy and nasty and self-centered. And so I think this was sort of one of the reasons why I thought that this would be a really good talk to give today, while it's fresh on my mind. Okay, so we have a lot of, as I said, we have a lot of teachings on what is the meaning of goodness, and I'm going to give you today 10, sort of the top 10 ways of practicing or undertaking goodness, of good acts, you know, do a good deed. So these are the top 10 good deeds. And they're not in any particular order. They're not from least important to most important, but they're in the order that the Buddha gave them. And the first one is dana, or charity. And this is usually the one that we Buddhists and non-Buddhists will think of when it comes to doing good deeds. We'll think of giving money to charity. And on a very simple level, this is how most people think of goodness. They will live their lives in an ordinary way. And when it comes, when they get this conscience come up and they feel like they should help other people, or maybe they're not doing anything of any benefit, then they decide that they're going to give money to charity. And so there's people like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or many other people who go to the extent that they will give millions or billions of dollars to charity, thinking that this is goodness. And remembering again that when we talk about goodness, we're talking about something that makes you a better person, something that makes your heart pure, something that makes you happy, something that makes you brings you peace. And so the cynic, and I as well would be quite cynical about the total amount of goodness that comes even from giving millions or billions of dollars of money to charity without ever taking a real interest in where that money is going, and without ever really putting effort into making sure that the money helps people and so on. Because it doesn't really affect your state of mind. If you just give lots of money, then go back to doing, back to the corporate world or whatever, or back to your job where you're a nasty person or however. It's easy to see how this goodness is quite limited. So we generally put monetary gifts and even charity in general on a low standing on a low footing as compared to other sorts of gifts. I mean, there are many other kinds of gifts that you could give. You can give food to the hungry, you can give clothing to the needy, and so on. You see these people who are giving mosquito nets to poor people in Africa, and so on. These are all examples of gifts that you can give. In Buddhism particularly, we place special emphasis on the teaching, because Buddhism, of course, is not a faith, it's not a belief, it's a philosophical or even a scientific teaching. So the greatest gift in Buddhism that we always push and we always encourage is the gift of Dhamma, the gift of the teaching. When you help people to come to understand, when you help people to come to see the truth. But this is a really important thing that we as Buddhists should keep in mind, both of these kinds of gifts, that we should be giving charity, we should be helping other people. And this year, early on in this year, I had a chance, I think it was for New Year or Christmas, I can't remember, but we did I had the chance to join in with many of the meditators here in giving gifts to an old age home of people who had no relatives to come to see them or to help them or to visit with them or to support them. And so we had this chance to give. I think this is an important part of Buddhist practice. You can see in other religions it's done as well, but it's something that we may often forget about in our philosophical or our scientific investigation of reality. We often lose sight of these really human, really important parts of becoming a whole person, which really includes generosity. But the other one is equally or even more important is this spreading of the Dhamma. And we should always be thinking about how we can help more people to realize the truth that we have at least started to come to realize. And this doesn't mean proselytizing or pushing the religion on other people. This isn't a Buddhist way, but when we see people in distress, you know, trying to think of a way that they will understand without wanting to pull them to become Buddhists, but finding a way for them to understand that makes them feel better and makes them feel more at peace, some way of helping them. And of course, for those people who are already interested in meditation, to give them a chance and to help them to come to practice meditation. So this is the first one that I think we should all think about, and it's the first one that the Buddha mentioned. The second one is sila, or morality. And we may often not think of morality as being a goodness, but here we're talking about those things that make the heart more at peace, more pure, and obviously morality fits into this category. So the Buddha said this is a good deed when you keep moral precepts, when you abstain from killing, stealing, lying, cheating, taking drugs and alcohol. This is a very good deed that you are doing. And it's something that is incredibly heartwarming for those people who had never heard of this. I being one of them, I'm totally guilty of killing, being a murderer of all sorts of animals, both large and small, when I was a young person, younger than I am now anyway. And it was such a relief to read these teachings and just to realize that, yes, now that I've stopped this is the most incredible deed that anyone can do for our fellow beings. What you're doing, as the Buddha said, is you're providing freedom from danger to all beings when you take on these precepts. When you make a promise to... You're making a promise to all beings. When you make a promise to yourself, you're making a promise to the universe that all beings are free from any sort of danger from you, that they never have to fear, no matter what they might do to you, they never have to fear that you will harm them in any way, that you will never take their life. You might act in self-defense. I want to stave off the question now that people are going to ask. Yes, acting in self-defense is allowed. Even monks are allowed to fight in self-defense to a certain extent. But the meaning is giving danger to those people, to giving danger to other beings, endangering their lives. and so on, freedom from theft in regards to their possessions. You are doing your duty as a human being, and it's a great relief, and it's a great freedom, and it's a great peace and a great happiness that comes once you take on these precepts. When you give up cheating, when you give up lying, when you give up drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol particularly have a different bent to them, have a different take. Drugs and alcohol don't directly harm anyone else, but obviously they can in regards to family troubles and child abuse and so on. When people give it up, it can be a great relief for other people, but specifically here we're to get more to the point, we're thinking of how it affects one's own mind. That clearly someone who is intoxicated and addicted to alcohol or who is attached to this clouded state of mind is not going to attain peace, happiness, and freedom from suffering. That they're always going to be muddled and lost and confused. So this is the second of 10. The third is bhavana, which means meditation or mental development. And bhavana is of two kinds, and this is really the core of Buddhism. So obviously I'm not going in order of least importance to most importance, but bhavana is, you could say, the core of goodness or the core of Buddhist practice. What is it that the Buddha taught most is meditation. What is it that he stressed was the practice of meditation. For those who could understand it, he was always pushing them towards practicing to tranquilize the mind, to make the mind peaceful and calm, and to gain understanding, to practice to understand your body, your mind, to practice to understand the world around us, to practice to understand reality and the truth. These three are sort of a summary of goodness, and often the Buddha just went so far, and he would just teach these three. So really this is an order of lowest to highest, because a person who maybe wasn't a Buddhist or wasn't a monk or wasn't a meditator would generally start, and the Buddha would generally give teachings in the beginning on generosity, being an open-minded person, not clinging, not holding on. It's sort of a basic way. When you give things, you don't cling. And so it's something that you can use to help people to get closer to a teaching, a practice of meditation. Then you teach them morality and then teach them meditation. But what's great about this tenfold teaching is the Buddha went quite a bit farther than that. And this is why it went in this order, because normally he would just teach these three, but when he wanted to flesh it out, he wanted to show that there were many other ways that by which one could perform goodness, and I would like to do so as well, to help people to see that it's not just giving gifts and keeping rules and practicing meditation. There's probably an infinite number of ways you could practice to attain goodness, as long as you're making yourself a better person, giving up greed, anger, and delusion. So number four is helping other people do good deeds. And this obviously is an important thing. You could say it's a good deed in itself. When other people are trying to do good deeds, or when other people are even just trying to live their lives, the help that you give to them, when you support someone who is unable to perform their daily activities, people who help old senior citizens, who help disabled people, even who help people, for instance, helping monks. Many people will go to monasteries and help at the monastery, help to run meditation courses. People who help out at meditation centers. This is a very real and very important part of Buddhism, and a part of goodness is not just doing good deeds ourselves, but encouraging and helping and assisting other people in doing good deeds and in just living their lives. So when we give help to other people, help to children, help to old people, help to sick people, and so on. Number five is respect, when we give respect to people. In Buddhism, equality doesn't play a very important role in the basic or the everyday scheme of things, there's no idea that we are all equal. For instance, we put our parents higher than ourselves. In Buddhism, we don't consider that everyone's equal, and our parents only had us because they were attracted to each other and because they wanted to have children. Even that being so, we consider that they've done a great service to us, and they've had great love, and they've put all of their effort into our care, most parents. And if they have, and whatever they have done to us, we respect them for that. And what's great, what's good about this, what makes this a practice of goodness, is that it helps us to get rid of our ego, our idea that I am equal to everyone else, or I am equal to them, and so on. In terms of meditation practice, obviously everyone is equally capable of the practice of meditation. But in our relationships with other people, paying respect to our parents, paying respect to our teachers. We consider in Buddhism respect towards teachers is almost as important as paying respect to parents. It can be even more important, depending on your relationship with your parents. Because our teachers may not have given birth to us, but they can often give birth to the insight and the wisdom which allows us to become a whole person. So we often consider that our teachers are our parents in another sense. They have given us life, where in the past we simply had darkness and it was like we were already dead until we found our teachers, until we found the teaching. And it's sad that often we see people thinking that they are self-made and that they don't have teachers and so on. And I have had many different teachers, and some of the teachers I don't get along with, and I don't talk to, and I don't think highly of. But I respect them, and I think that they have whatever they have given to me. You know, they have that over me, and I appreciate that from them. And even more so, those teachers that I still do respect and that I appreciate and that I think highly of, then I'm more than happy to prostrate at their feet and to do whatever I can for them, even to risk my own self or to give of my own self for their benefit. And I think that's a really good thing for us to cultivate, because it helps us, again, to get rid of this ego, this attachment to self. And also allows us to practice meditation in comfort and ease, because then our teachers feel comfortable teaching us. So respect is important. It's respect for each other, respect for life, respect for our fellow beings, respect for other people's right to certain things and so on. Respect for people as people. Number five is... How many are we at? No, we're number six. Sorry, that was number four and five. Number six is appreciation of other people's good deeds. You see, it gets quite detailed here, and it's quite a nice teaching to think about all these things. The next one is, you don't have to do anything to perform goodness. You don't have to do any good deed. When you see someone else doing a good deed, and you thank them for it, or you appreciate them for it, in Buddhism we say anumodana, which means it's a sense of happiness, appreciation, you could say, the appreciation of other people's good deeds. When you see other people doing good deeds, just appreciating them for it and saying, wow, what a good thing you've done, instead of how we might often feel jealous or angry, or we might try to belittle their good deeds and say they're just doing it for show or so on, or they're just doing it for personal benefit, etc., etc. It really doesn't matter whether they are or aren't. Sometimes you can be cynical and think, these people are just doing it for show, or, you know, those people giving gifts just doing it for tax breaks, or so on. But that certainly doesn't help our state of mind, and again, goodness here is something that we cultivate in our own minds. So when we see other people doing good deeds, we can consider this a part of our practice to appreciate and to encourage them in it. You can see how important it would be to encourage people who are doing good deeds maybe half-heartedly and doing it for ulterior motives and so on, to encourage them in just the goodness of it and to see the goodness in their act, and how good it is for us to appreciate and not be jealous or cynical or so on. The next one, number 7, is the dedication of our merits, the dedication of our good deeds. Whenever we do good deeds in Buddhism, we will always dedicate it to other people. We will do it in other people's name as well, wishing for other people to gain the benefit of this. On a mundane level, you can think of this as when you do good deeds, thinking about how it's going to help other people, not just thinking about how good it is for your mind. And in the West, this is an important part of goodness. We often don't think that good deeds are going to help us in any way. We think of them as important because they're going to help others. Well, this is a part of goodness. It actually does help you, again, to think about how much it helps other people. So when you give gifts and you think of how you know, you're thoughtful towards other people and wanting to help poor people, help sick people, and so on. But in Buddhism, we go a little bit further and we think about giving gifts to deceased people, doing it in their names. And we often go maybe a little too far in thinking that somehow they've died already and they're going to gain some benefit from this deed. We dedicate it to them and we make a wish and we say, may they be happy, may they go to heaven, or so on. And there's some debate over this, and it seems like the only way they could possibly realistically anyway gain benefit from in that way is if they were born again as a ghost. You know, this idea of ghosts hanging around, and you do some good deed and you dedicate it to them and they are aware of your dedication. They see that you're dedicating this to them and they feel happy about it. And again, this is their appreciation of your good deed. And when they appreciate it, then it's a good thing for them. And it can help them to move on to happier places, move out of the realm of being a ghost. But the more important point is that it's helpful towards us. It is important to dedicate good deeds to dead people and to even to living people because of how happy it makes us feel, because it's a dedication, it's a determination that this might be of benefit towards other beings. When we, even in the West, will dedicate things, so you see these foundations in this person or that person. It sounds like I might be opening a meditation center in the name of a deceased relative of someone, and one of my students wants to dedicate a meditation center to her deceased husband. So, and I think that's great. It's an important thing to do out of respect and appreciation for these people, because it calms and it really helps our minds. It helps alleviate our own pain and suffering from losing our deceased loved ones. Number 8 is the teaching or the exposition of Dhamma, of the Buddha's teaching or of truth, of reality, helping other people to realize the truth. And I think a really good example of this is, obviously, is here at the Buddha Center, but I just wanted to say that even on a basic level, those people who lead meditations here, we have many people who maybe don't have the time or the interest or the level to give actual talks, but they will volunteer free of charge to come and lead teachings. So they will sit and maybe give some instruction and lead people through a meditation. And this is a very important part of the teaching of Buddhism, that it doesn't mean the exposition of the Dhamma doesn't mean that we have to give talks and we have to be a clever speaker or a great teacher. When our heart is set on it and we have this pure intention that we want to help other people, even just showing them how to meditate, saying, look, you know, why don't you sit down, watch your breath, watch the stomach rising and falling, or why don't you try sitting down and thinking good thoughts or sending loving kindness or however. This is all a wonderful sort of thing that we can do for this world. It's another gift, as I said in the beginning. It's an overlap with the first one. The teaching of Dhamma is a gift. And the Buddha said, sabbadhanang dhammadhanang jinati. That the gift of Dhamma, the gift of truth, excels all other gifts. And this is something that we always repeat to ourselves, and it's something which we should all keep in mind. If you haven't heard this before, then you should you've heard it now and you should consider this, that when we give gifts, the gift of teaching is the greatest gift. And it doesn't mean that we have to be a skilled or clever teacher. Although, in fact, the only way to become a skilled and clever teacher is to start to teach, is to get out there and start helping people and doing, giving talks and giving teachings, because it's something that takes time and it's something that takes effort. But it's a great thing and it's a very important thing. The only way that Buddhism is spread is through volunteer teachers, people who weren't getting paid, who weren't getting any sort of benefit from it, but who just taught because they had gained something good and had given them the compassion so that they were willing and able to give the teaching to other people. Number 9 is listening to the Dhamma, curiously, but it shouldn't be strange to us that listening to the Dhamma is a good thing. One thing we may not realize when we listen about listening to the teaching is that simply listening to the teaching makes your mind pure. You know, I'm sure I don't expect that everyone here is somehow absorbed in what I'm saying, and I can imagine there's some texting going on and maybe getting up to go to the washroom and so on, which is not a problem, and I'm not worried about that. But when we do take the time to listen to the teaching, and when we take the time to reflect on it and look at how our reactions to the teaching are, and to see how it relates to our minds, and seeing how our minds have good and bad states in them, and using it as a meditation teaching, our minds can become pure even when we're listening to the Buddha's teaching. And it's possible there have been cases where people simply listening to the Buddha's teaching, whether it was from the Buddha himself or from someone else teaching it, that they were able to become enlightened simply because it helped to free their minds up from the negative emotions of jealousy, stinginess, anger, greed, conceit, egotism, and so on. And so this is certainly a very important good deed. In fact, you could say all good deeds stem from listening to other people. Again, talking to this person last night, mostly we just listen to him talk. He's 80 years old and he's got a lot to talk about. And it was just nice to listen to him and to learn something. And it made us feel very peaceful and happy to be able to hear all of his stories and his ideas and the things he had done and the things he intended to do with the rest of his life. Number 10, the 10th and final one, you could say is the most important and sort of the pinnacle of Buddhism. It's sort of the outcome that we hope for in meditation, is the straightening of one's view, and the straightening of one's understanding. It's called dittujukamma, the act of straightening one's view. View is the sort of the keystone in Buddhism that we're trying to do away with all of our wrong views, all of our wrong beliefs, anything that is simply based on speculation, theory, belief, tradition, in favor of reality, experiential or empirical understanding. So that if between the two, our belief or our view and our experience of reality, there is some discrepancy, that we do away with the former. We do away with our former beliefs in favor of our experience of reality. If it doesn't agree with our experience of reality, we do away with the belief. And so right view in Buddhism is an understanding of how reality works from a verifiable, empirical investigation. As we practice meditation, obviously this is what we attain. We more clearly come to see things as they are and come to lose our illusions and our delusions and our misunderstandings. So this is, I think, a very good broad-based overview of the kinds of teachings that the Buddha had in mind, the kind of practices that the Buddha had in mind for all of us. And I think it's very joyful for me to have this opportunity. We can see here we have people from all over the world coming together. So I would encourage everyone to take this teaching and these sorts of teachings back to you, back to your countries, back to your homes, and to use this as sort of one more overview or guideline in the practice of the Buddhist teaching and in the development of happiness, peace, and freedom from suffering. So I'd like to thank everyone for coming, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to take them. Otherwise, I'll see you all next week.